I count it honor and privilege to be with you today. In fact, after the last 3 years, I count it honor and privilege to be anywhere. It is a joy to return to Duke Chapel. I give thanks to Dean Powery in his absence and to all the people associated with the staff and team here at the Duke University Chapel. It is my honor to come and be with you on this Martin Luther King Jr. Sunday. I want to talk to you today about some reflections on Martin Luther King Jr. and our continued missed opportunities. Many years ago, I was minding my business reading through the Bible, and I came across a verse that arrested my attention. In every Bible that I have now since then, either in print or digitally, this passage from Isaiah 49 and 6 is circled or highlighted. It says, God says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. That text arrested me. I was minding my own business. I wasn't looking for a sermon for preaching, nor was I trying to dig up the social, historical, theological, cultural context. Those words leapt from the page to me. Our lives, are also texts, and some of them leap out to us as we're minding our own business. The farther we get away from those lives, the more likely we are to construct our own conception of what those lives were about. We lose the detail and sometimes the person. As we continue this commemoration of the King holiday, we must guard ourselves against losing the essence of Dr. King. In recent months, I have been drawn to Dr. King's spiritual journey and his evolving spirituality. I have been helped by a volume edited by Victor Anderson and Lewis Baldwin, Revives My Soul. Well, we read text, both biblical and lived, for many reasons. More often than not, we read to prove ourselves right, to make sure that God is on our side, and to throw those sacred texts and lives at each other as a weapon against people who do not know what we know and do not share our view of life. It all results in missed opportunities. About this text, at first glance, it has everything you want a Bible verse to have. It starts off, God is speaking. That's pretty good. God speaks. Listening to God have words is a good thing, except we're not always sure, biblically or otherwise, if it is, in fact, the voice of God. this language of the servant, which we seem to have a romance with, even though it has been increasingly difficult to grasp the idea of servant here, given the episodes of chattel slavery and human trafficking that we continue to try to sweep under the rug. I mean, this is a good passage. There's a mandate to raise up and restore survivors among our own people. I resonate with that. To raise up, to teach, to shape, to nurture, to guide, to give liturgical and ritual meaning to the things that we continue to do. That's good. We must do that. To restore survivors, that's a good thing. There is this word in this verse, salvation. I mean, if we're going to talk about God, we have to use these theological words, right? Which we all like to ponder and think about with our deepest philosophical minds, or not. We have talked ourselves into believing just because we know those words, we know what they mean. Read this text again carefully. And there is some unfinished work. And this world and these words are dangerously ambiguous to us. This idea of being a light to the world to show salvation has been translated across the Western Christian history in an idea of mission and evangelism that does more harm than good, indoctrinating peoples, indigenous peoples, into catechesis and orthodoxy. I think there is something more to this text than this. It is about our missed opportunities to invite the entire world to dream with us. I will give you as a light that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. As we observe today the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday weekend, and I recognize in this culture that collapses everything into initials, I want to always say what I mean and not be misrepresented by some new understanding of those initials. So for me, it is not MLK Day, it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I am worried, even though I'm using more characters, that I don't want to be misunderstood. In that Baldwin and Anderson text mentioned earlier, Stuart Burns begins his essay entitled Cosmic Companionship, Martin Luther King's Lived Theology. He begins that with two quotes that are helpful to us. One from Dr. King himself. I am convinced that the universe is under the control of a loving purpose, and in that struggle for righteousness, man has cosmic companionship. Allow me to use an updated translation of that verse if I can. I mean, we are here in 2023. Not that we are better than the people of the 60s or the 50s or the 40s. We are not more advanced, but we do have more information. The word man, given its expressions today, is far too narrow. We do know that we are all not men. As my cousin used to say about a popular song when we were growing up, he would say, well, everybody wasn't kung fu fighting. Perhaps the sacred record is more advanced than our binary opposite sex of either male or female. Creation was, remember, both male and female. So let me see if I can paraphrase that in our language. I am convinced. I also don't like the term control. I am convinced that the universe is guided by a loving principle, and in that struggle for what King called righteousness, we have lived in a time now where we separate righteousness from justice. But the biblical mandate and the call and the identity of the righteous, one cannot be righteous without justice. And by the way, social justice is redundant. Justice, by its execution, is social in its dynamic. I am convinced that the struggle for just in this struggle for justice, we the people have cosmic companionship. Robert McAfee Brown writes also, for our purposes, what is more characteristic of the God of the Bible is that God is the God who takes sides. God is not indifferent. God is not aloof. God is not uncaring. What happens to people matters to God. And if there is anything clear in the biblical drama as a whole, it is that when God takes sides, God sides with the oppressed. Our verse acknowledges the good work of restoration of our survivors. Let us think today of those who have been through wars of horror and heinous deeds of violence and power. We must do that work. We must be the people concerned with those who are survivors. Not but and, the people of faith are called to be something more than God's triage. You know how we do it. When things happen and crises come, at the end of that crisis, we call the ministers and the people of faith. We ask them to come and help us make sense when someone is sick or someone has died. But we miss the prophetic dimension of this work. It is not just to be at the end to give the good word. We are called to speak to the sources of violence and death that are in our culture and society, and not just to bandage up the wounded. Martin King went to Montgomery with the fervor of youthfulness, the credential of a freshly minted PhD degree, and the pedigree of being the son of a respected minister in Atlanta. He was just looking for a church somewhere that would give him the opportunity to be pastor. The Dexter Street Church actually found him as a suitable and safe pastor, given their tumultuous life with his predecessor. He went to Montgomery because he was the safe choice. There was a woman there, Rosa Parks, tired of giving up her seat on segregated buses. The ministers organized like they do in all towns. The older ministers, wearied for certain, jaded perhaps by the frustration of duty, saw a young man with a strong back, a clean mind, and some extra time. They voted him to be the president of the Montgomery Improvement Association, and the rest, dear friends, is history. The black people of Montgomery brought light to the injustice of segregated busing and brought that into the homes of America at the 6 o'clock news. Not just that Montgomery incident, but various incidents of injustice and racial inequality and violence that was both physical and policy. And they brought that into the American homes at 6 o'clock. Back in the day, for some of you who are younger, back in the day when families had this strange ritual of eating dinner together. our challenges, and we miss our opportunities because we see our faith as an opportunity solely to help our own kind, however we define that. As I walked into a diner in 2023, as I was headed to my seat, it was not in the South, it was not 1963, it was 2023, I overheard a man saying to someone who was sitting, the man was sitting at the counter, say to someone behind the counter, "We are all alike." I'm not sure what his next sentence was, came because he saw me come in or he didn't see me. Either one is egregious. He said, "We are all alike. All white people are the same." While it is natural for us to look after our own, in the end, that is the most selfish of acts. It borders on idolatry of a people, of a race, of a nation that sets itself at the center of all discussions of power and truth. That place at the center belongs only to God. Whenever and wherever people struggle against the foot pressed on their necks, we have to pay attention. We ought to feel the pains of immigrants looking for the dream of survival from wherever they may come. When a country decides that it is just going to start a war to expand its own territory, murdering innocent lives and disrupting lives, we must pay attention. Whenever and whenever families do not have access to potable water, whether they are in Flint, Jackson, or Uganda, we must pay attention. Whenever women's bodies are still under the control of men who are at their core practical and political misogynists, we cannot just bind up the wounds. It is not enough to bind up the wounds. Of course, we have a problem because we live in a culture and a time addicted to violence and constricted to its own binary thinking. But King believed in the nonviolent way, which he learned from Mahatma Gandhi. It offered a third alternative to what we know. Oppression and violence are often how we see the binaries pulling on each other. But there is a third alternative, and that is salvation for all people. Martin King believed that the quality of life of the Negro was also going to be ultimately realize in the freedom that would come correspondingly to Southern whites. We do not need to come with our weapons on our hands, whether they are fixed to assault rifles, standing on constitutional rights, or buzzing around the air in drones with their precision accuracy of violence. Weapons are not the answer. Now, I know many of you have packed up your Christmas things already and moved on at the prompting of Hallmark to Valentine's Day. But allow me to go back to a scene for a moment. Out in the fields of shepherds came a holy serenade by the heavenly host. If you know who these people are, they are God's most trusted protectors. They would be the people who had all the weapons just in case God was under attack. But they did not come on that morning with their weapons drawn. They came singing and praising. We have missed thousands of opportunities to be a light to the nation because we are stuck in our own world, to give life to hope and peace and justice to all and not to ourselves. We miss these opportunities because we read the scriptures believing it is only about our personal spiritual growth and not about our fuller work to all of the world. We have turned the faith into personal development and not into the transformation of all creation. We have convinced ourselves that the salvation of which God speaks is for us and nobody else. We miss our opportunities because our view of the world is limited to what we know of it. We miss our opportunities because some of us are just comfortable with the way things are and it's familiar. On the other hand, we miss our opportunities because we have convinced ourselves that we are not enough. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. Being a light forces us to rise up out of our comfort, to be seen by those who would dare to look. And so over the thousands of opportunities we have missed, I encourage us today to take our own responsibility and be the light. My forebears had a way of dealing with that. They did not come with their weapons drawn. They came with their music. While the forces against them reminded them and reinforced somehow that they were less than the people for whom they were taking care, and in a place where their culture and values were disintegrated as savage, they found power in these words. I know people may think I'm not much, but this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Talk to me for a mother. Where are you gonna let it shine? Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Tell me some more. Forefather, Jesus gave it to me. I'm gonna let it shine. Tell me something else, Auntie. Not gonna make it shine, just gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And so we are in this time that we are in. We should acknowledge that we have missed many opportunities, but we should not grow weary. Because even though I sound like someone who today may be calling us to attention of all the things we miss, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall someday.